Maloni, Talohani, Talofalava, Malo le Suefu, Malelangi Mama, Kia Orana, Malo Elelei, Fakalofa Lahiatu, Talofa, Kokumele Mele Puka, Mau, Mai Teama, Emomo Lava Pikia, Petitato Tamana Italangi, Motana Tauhinga, Manahaka Manuyanga, Mugitato Uma. Mateola Matemaloi, Kumawe Gitato, Rokatino in Tato Tamohaina Bene. Yeah. Once again, warm Pacific greetings to all our listeners. You are tuned in and listening to Te Ama Radio on Planet FM 104.6 or live streaming online at www.planetaudio.org.nz. Or if you missed the broadcast, listen for the next 7 days at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Te Ama Pacifica Health.
Te Ama Pacifica Health. And this morning is a very, very warm welcome to our beautiful listeners this morning. As always, I'm looking at the window and it's rather calm, but it's still cold. But the good thing is it's not raining. And yeah, and we have a very, very special guest with us here this morning, right in the studio. And he is Tony Laulu, Pacific Advisor from Skills Grow by Growing Others. Our youth are our future. But as we do normally, first of all, we give thanks to our Heavenly Father, for He has many, many gifts and many blessings upon us all. Therefore, we will begin our program with a word of prayer. Talofa lava malo le soifua, e pe lava tu langatato te mastaniai, a mataina la tato po kalame ele tatalo, tatu tatalo.
Dear Father God, we're grateful for this morning that we're able to dialogue and to share experiences and to share love about our Pacific people, and we're grateful for Planet FM for having this platform for us to talk about our Pacific people and how we can help each other grow. We pray, Father, this time that we can feel of your Holy Spirit and that you can bless us while we conversate and talk about things about our Pacific people, and if it be your will, to touch those who are needing it and touch their hearts, and that we can have a successful time today. And these things we pray for through the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tony.
Speaker, can calm the strongest wind. So now
once again to all our listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Te Ama Community Radio Program, FM 104.6. And we're very privileged to have with us in the studio a young gentleman by the name of Tony Laulu. And we're going to get to know him a little bit more by asking him just to introduce himself and just tell us a bit about your background, your family, your education, that sort of thing, so that our listeners can get a mental picture of who you are.
Taro for lover. Yeah. More more see even being a month of Talia to Tato Holy in Nayas. Yeah. Maro soy formerly Langi Mama. Yeah. Tony Laulu is my name. Just a little bit about myself. My mum, her name is Lewatea. Mataupu is her maiden name. Mm-hmm. From Mota in Apia. She comes from a huge family. I think it's about 13 or 14 siblings. Mm-hmm. So there's a few variations or last names that different siblings go by. So it's shout out to the Mataupu family, Taito family. Palemene is another surname that people have taken on. Mm-hmm. She comes from a family full of teachers. A lot of them were teachers. The old man, the grandpa, was heavily involved in teaching in Samoa. Mm. Not sure what capacity, but I from what I understand, is from some sort of government level. So yes. The flow on from that was a lot of my uncles and aunties ended up in the education system. She's an awesome lady. We have our running. She's a really strong, focused, Pacific woman. Very opinionated. And obviously, because I am a product of her, mm-hmm. we clash a lot. And so,
do you want to shout out to her right now?
Yeah. Hi, Mum. Love you. That's a little bit about my mum's side. My dad comes from a beautiful village in Sava'i, Fa'ala, in the Palauli district. He comes also from a huge family, about 13 of them. My dad is very opposite to my mum. Very quiet, goes about his work, doesn't say too much. But I guess one thing that I appreciate from my father and probably my dad's side is more so my granddad. I didn't really get a chance to meet with him in person, but from the stories, he was a pioneer in the village. He was always caring, cared a lot about the people in his village. He had come to New Zealand, maybe in the 50s or 60s, to do a stint here, and he went back, and the real story that I remember was he was the first one to have a brand new Ford pickup truck. And it wasn't to show off or anything, but it was to make the work in the village a lot more easier for his family and also for people that they're related to. So big shout out to the Laulu family and Whaalongo side from Siumu. And so I come from a huge family, which is probably why they decided to only have three kids. They probably saw that, you know, sometimes a bit headache having 13 kids. So just so it's myself and two younger sisters, Samantha and Jessica. Samantha is married to a guy named Kyle. His surname is Whatupaito. So shout out to that family, and also my sister Jessica, who's married to Joseph Soloa'i. Soloa'i is quite a big family as well, and very well known and acknowledged in the Mormon community, especially in Hamilton. So yeah, couldn't have asked for better men for my my sister to marry. But as for myself, I was born in Samoa, moved here when I was still a little baby. I think we grew up. I was raised in all different places, Avondale, and some other places, I'm not sure. But anyway, ended up in Onehunga from the age of about 4 or 5. A man named James Amu, huge family, the Amu family. And this is, I'll tie it all in. But he had advised him that buying a house would be the ideal thing to do. My parents had no idea, had no concept of what buying a house would do in the future. That there are still new migrants here, but he was an influential person in their lives and helped them purchase a house, you know, 25 years ago. And I don't think they understood. Maybe they did, but I get the feeling they didn't really fully understand sort of the influence a purchase of a home would be. But I'm grateful that they went through with it, and sort of we've been blessed through understanding sort of how to navigate through financial crisis and all of the sorts of things that a lot of our people struggle with. As far as me, schooling wise, Royal Oak Primary, Royal Oak Intermediate. I grew up in Onehunga, but went to Mount Albert Grammar. So Mount Albert Grammar is just 5 minutes down the road from where we are at the moment. Proud to have gone to that school. And after that, I worked for a year after school. Didn't really know what I was doing, what I wanted to do. I went on a Mormon mission for 2 years to the Philippines. That was an awesome experience. And since then I've worked in different places, but here I am at Skills.
Thank you so much for sharing your experience. You come from a well-educated, high-achieving family with you know, good family values, hard-working. You spoke about, is it your granddad that had the first vehicle or something? Yeah, and it was to assist, you know, to make work a lot easier. You said you're a product of your mom, you know, and your family, and, you know, your family, I'm quite sure that they're proud of your achievements today. You're true about us islanders, you know, way back in the 70s, 60s, people were not knowledgeable about how to go out purchasing a house, but your parents were smart enough to listen. Even though they didn't know, they took the advice, and it has become an investment and an asset to your family. You've learned a lot at a very early age. You know, you're very young. If you don't mind sharing us to the audience listening, the age group that you're in. We don't need to know your age, just the age group between this age and that age.
Yeah, it's all right. I just turned 31 not long ago.
Okay. Well, you know, I thought you would have been like late 20s or something like that. But you're one of the youngest that we've had in the studio so far. I mean, that I've interviewed anyway. And we have a lot to learn from our elderly, our parents, and also young people as well. So it's a real thrill and a privilege to have you here to share your journey on how you have chosen to walk a path where you can also assist other young people in their skills and, you know, whatever it is that you do with them. So you've learned through family experience and even education. You've had a really good education. So can you just share with us... Have you said something about having experience in the Philippines, you know, your spiritual, religious background and all that. Your career prior to skills, or is this your first full-time career, or you've worked in other places before?
Cool. After my mission, I had gone and studied at AUT. I did a Bachelor of Business and was majoring in Human Resources and Management.
Right.
I'll be really honest, I'm not too sure. I was a bit lost.
Mm.
I just did sort of the most, the closest thing that I thought matched my skill set. I'm glad I have this platform to talk
now
because I know that other people are listening.
Yes.
If I could redo it, I'm not sure if I would have gone to school.
Okay.
In the Pacific community, a lot of them really feel like having a degree or chasing after the piece of paper of tertiary is the epitome or the highest achievement that you can do as far as your children.
Mm.
And my parents were really influential in my decisions and going after tertiary. And maybe a few years ago, I was probably more on the, I'm not sure why, even when, you know, not bitter about the pressure to go and study, but
yeah.
I would have liked to just have a little break and really think about what my skills are instead of, and I think it's a lot of parents, feel the need to education.
Yeah.
But what I've realized over the years is education doesn't always come in forms of a diploma or degree or certificate.
Right.
Education can come through, probably the only thing that I can relate to is a lot of sports stars. I know we sort of glorify them a lot, but they're professionals
at what they do
in an industry, and they are educated on being physically fit, nutrition, and they didn't have to do any sort of degree to become an expert in their field. And so I guess where I am is it's just that I think it's this knowledge and experience that will only develop generationally. So now that I know what I know, for my two boys, Sakalia and Lemelie, if tertiary is where they want to go, cool.
Yeah.
But if it's in the trades or if it's a professional athlete or whatever else it is, then I'm open to supporting them in that way.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the generation before me was those aren't options.
Mm.
You can't ever provide for your family.
Yeah.
It's just a 5 to 10 year plan. What are you going to do after that? But as we know and as we've seen, a lot of athletes or any other industries can leverage off their 5 to 10 year career.
Yeah. I'm really excited to hear what you're saying because there is a new trend that's emerging through our young people. And as you say, you know, we've learned about history, you know, geography and all that stuff, and that's really good. Those things are important. But as you were saying, some people may, their skills and their talents, they may be able to perform at a higher level in things that they're really good at doing. You know, so like you're saying, you're thinking about, I've spent all these years doing this, but this is what I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people do jump into a study program because they missed out probably in a placing at uni or tech where they really wanted to. I know I have family members who really wanted to do that, but they couldn't because the space was full. So they did something else, which they really didn't really want to do. Mm-hmm. And then now they're starting, after the years of study, they're like, oh, I want to go this way now. Mm-hmm. You know, so I can sort of understand where you're coming from. So as you said, it's going to take a while for the generations to change their mindset on, you know, what really is education. And so maybe perhaps if we can start branching into what it is that you really do in relationship to skill. Can you explain what skill is? Is it an organization and your involvement in all that and what it provides to our young people?
Cool. So I'm the Pacific Advisor for Skills. Right. Skills Organization is what it was known as before. They sit in an industry called the ITO industry, yep. which is an industry training organization.
Okay.
It's a funny space because a lot of people don't know it exists until
yeah.
you either work for them or you're about to be an apprenticeship. So the main trades that we look after are electrical, plumbing,
mm-hmm.
gas fitting and scaffolding. We cover about 22 industries, and the other ones that we look after are offender management, contact centre, real estate. But those other specialist trades, electrical and plumbing, other ones that we've been focusing solely on lately. And so as far as my role, Skills, I guess, about a year or so ago, identified that we have a lot of Pacifica trainees.
Mm.
We have a lot of Pacifica that are wanting to become qualified and certified
yes.
in these sorts of trades.
Mm.
The gap, I feel, was, because no one ever told me, I just sort of connected the dots. But the gap I think they saw was because there was a huge group of Pacifica.
Mm.
They needed someone Pacifica mm-hmm. to be able to cater to their needs.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had people there already, but mm-hmm. I think they found there was a lot more value in having mm-hmm. a Pacifica face to front specific
yes.
barriers,
yes.
Communication issues mm-hmm. between people doing their apprenticeship, employees. Mm-hmm. So there's a few sort of stakeholders that... They might have lost a bit of interest or whatnot if they didn't have a Pacific person there. So Isaac Liava'a is a person who I work with, and he's been in the space for a few years.
Yeah.
He's done some amazing work, and Skills has really benefited from his skill set as far as connecting with the community, connecting with MIT and Unitech. But I'll just sort of create a timeline.
Sure, yes.
So you see where I fit in all of this. If we have a Pacific brother or sister that wants to be an electrician, the normal pathway would be for them to apply for an electrical qualification level 3 or 4 at MIT or Unitech or other places around the country.
Right.
To complete that, it'll take probably a year or so. As soon as they finish, MIT and Unitech have nothing to do with them after that.
Oh, okay.
But they still need to do another 3 years of being an apprentice or doing their apprenticeship.
On the job.
So they've spent a year doing all the theory stuff, a little bit of practical, but they need to spend another 3 years on the job.
The actual training.
Doing, you know, all of the electrical stuff, knowing how to wire things, switchboards and all of that sort of stuff. So that 3 years, that's where Skills comes in.
Okay.
And Skills signs them on to a training agreement or some sort of training understanding so that we can manage their apprenticeship right up until the time that they become registered and qualified as an electrician. So we saw along that timeline that there is a lot of our Pacific people going into these qualifications. Then Skills was there. They didn't have a Pacifica arm, but that they would get lost in between that transition time. There wouldn't be a Pacific face or Pacific any sort of support for them there, and which is why I'm grateful that Skills has sort of identified that as a hole in their strategy. So they employed Isaac and they employed me. So anybody that's on their apprenticeship will know myself or Isaac.
Yes.
And any sort of concerns that they come across with, as far as I'm not getting along with my employer, who do I talk to? I don't think I'm getting paid enough. I'm having issues with my employer. Sometimes they'd be not, they wouldn't be what's the word, they wouldn't be comfortable enough to approach skills, but now they know they have a Pacific brother and me and Isaac. It's a lot more easier for them to reach out to us, because what we were finding was they'd start the apprenticeship but because they didn't have someone to communicate with, they'd stop. The biggest issue, I guess, was the payments, because on a training wage you can get paid under minimum wage, so somewhere on $14, $15.
That's not right.
So and you can get paid that, but because they didn't have anybody to motivate them, keep them going, then, that's where we lost a lot of our Pacific people, is because there was no support. So
It's good. I'm beginning to remember now that I have heard about Skill and the ITO organization and that, and it's really good to know that our young people, and it's not just the young people, if it's those who wanted to change their career from and then come and study, and then like you say, it's quite easy for them to get lost in the system or even give up, you know, because it can become stressful or quite frustrating. So it's really good that you guys are there to help. Can you give us an example of the effectiveness? Do people do come to see you guys?
Oh, that's a cool question.
Yeah, because they need to know that you're there. How do they get to know that you're there? How can they get in touch with you, and do they actually come?
Cool. So this year, me and Isaac had, well, mostly Isaac, he created this community called Nesian Sparkies.
And so sounds cool.
It's pretty cool, and it's growing sort of as it started. But what Nesian Sparkies is as a trainee, or if you're on your apprenticeship, you have to be submitting work every so often, maybe every fortnight, monthly, where you have to take evidence. Maybe you have to write a summary about what you did as part of your, you know, qualification, or as part of being registered as an electrician. And so a lot of our Pacific brothers and sisters were on these apprenticeships, and sometimes they'd fall behind in their work. Some of them, the employers didn't really encourage them to do their work. They were just happy to just for them to work, but not really do the other additional stuff to be qualified and registered.
The requirements,
exactly. And so we'll set up a sort of workshop and study group called Nesian Sparkies. So every 6 weeks, we have our academic tutors, and it's held at our skills headquarters in Highbrook, where it gives them a chance to come in every Saturday, every 6 weeks, to catch up on any of their work. The quicker they get through it, the quicker they can get paid what they're supposed to get paid as a registered electrician. Some of them are going on 4 or 5 years on their apprenticeship, and they're still getting paid $15 or $16. So I guess our big push is for them to just, let's try and get it done as quickly as possible. And this is the way that we can do it, is providing these scheduled 6 week blocks where they can come in and into a safe space and have academic tutors that are sort of culturally competent to know how to teach.
They're connected.
Pacific people.
It can become a barrier where our people are not, if they're not comfortable. And I think another thing too is, if, with all due respect to all the other cultures, and I think it's the same with the other cultures, there are things within, you know, different cultures that only we would understand. And, you know, sometimes people are just too shy to ask, but if they see there's someone, oh, okay, I can ask that person, then they're not going to, like, look down on me or anything like that. And, yeah, so it's really great that you do these 6 weeks weekly catch-up, what workshops, is it, Nesian workshops.
Nesian Sparkies.
That's a pretty cool name and a pretty cool way of encouraging our people to move forward and not to lag behind or even drop away, because sometimes when you're on your own, you just give up, eh?
Yep.
But when you become accountable to the people around you, so everybody wants to move together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a good way of helping to develop their skills and get to the stage where they get what, you know, get paid for what they really need to be paid for. Are there other areas that you'd like to share with us that you deal with in giving advice and other workshops or, mm-hmm. you know?
We have a schools team, and they're called Work Choice, and they're in a few schools around Auckland,
mm-hmm.
and they're under the skills banner. Okay. But I guess as far as advice, me personally, I've been in a few schools and helped out with the Work Choice team.
Mm.
But if there's any sort of direction, and my limited amount of wisdom I can give is as far as the kids these days, university's one option.
One option, okay.
It's difficult, and I'm not sure if it might be a different discussion.
Mm.
But I know from Mags, that was the only option. I was never exposed to any other sort of career option besides go to university, and then they'll tell you from there.
Mm.
I sometimes wish that there was a trades component.
Oh, at the time.
At the time. Or I think they did, but it was just nailing two bits of wood together or stuff like that. But I wish that people had come in, employers, and said, look, there's going to be a building crisis.
Mm.
And in the next 5 years, building, carpentry, electrical, plumbing is going to be
high demand.
In high demand.
Yeah.
But I understand the schools are somewhat institutionalised, that they have to promote Auckland Uni or UniTech or AUT.
You started off in the beginning, Tony, by saying about you were not sure about education. As you talk, I'm listening, and you're very right in what you're saying. You're 31 years old, and you see there's a better way for them to actually qualify. And what I'm picking up, you know, apprenticeship, they get paid while they're training versus student loans.
Mm-hmm.
And after a year or 2 years, 3 years at UniTech or AUT, they walk away. They have nothing more to do with them, right? That's what I'm picking up at the beginning. Whereas what you're doing with skills, you know, you're making sure that they walk away with a trade certificate where they get the right pay that they are entitled to.
Mm-hmm.
And also Pacific, you know, it's a need. It's a must. So you can hold on to them.
Yep.
Yeah?
For sure. As far as if finances is a barrier, or if finances is something that, because I've come from there, money is a big issue in the Pacific.
Yes, definitely.
The funny thing about money is it's a big issue, but we don't like to talk about it. So as far as children or people that are in high school, or people like you were saying, that want to change career, through doing a trade, electrical, we even have a scholarship available, multi-Pacific Trades Training Scholarship, which is fees-free. If you complete your course, you don't have to pay for your tuition.
Mm.
So in the ideal situation, if I'm a young Samoan or Tongan or any other Pacific nation, I would jump on that scholarship.
Yeah.
And do that for a year, so I don't have to pay for anything besides my lunch my bus fare there.
Yeah.
After that, we pick you up at Skills, and you go into an apprenticeship. There's no loans or anything. You start getting paid.
Yes, as soon as possible.
As soon as you get into employment. So after 3 years, the wage might not be great for 3 years, but the jump from apprenticeship wage to how much you get paid as a registered electrician is huge.
Yeah.
So I guess the hard part is sacrificing or understanding the bigger picture. Okay, I'm just going to struggle for the next 3 years. at $16, $17, $18 an hour.
Mm.
Because I know in 3 years I'll be qualified. $30, $32, $34 an hour.
Yeah.
And if you can convince yourself that it's worth the worth the sacrifice, then
You know, I'm really excited about what you're saying, because you're a younger generation coming through with a new concept. Just two things before we go into a break that I see that's important. It's timing and the skills, because, you know, you don't want to do something for 5 years and, like you say, you incur a huge loan where you can actually spend a year or two, you know, developing the skills that you're really good at and passionate about and work towards that. That's what I'm hearing, right?
Sure.
Yeah, so this is a new concept coming through now. And it's not to devalue education,
no.
Because junior education is important. You know, being at Manukau Te Ko Institution, it's important. Education, you know, you're still learning, you're the skilled, and you're still being educated. So that's not to say that, you know, education isn't important. It is very important. And it's really much important on what it is that you're doing, because at the end of the day, we want to put food on the table in the house of our heads, a roof of our heads, really. Eh? So anyway, we're just going to leave our listeners just to contemplate on this new concept that this fine young gentleman has brought to our studio today. And we're just going to go into a break to listen to a song about the way that God really blesses us.
Tiama, you have been listening to Tony Laulu, Pacific Advisor from Skills, Grow by Growing Others, and our youth are our future. Skills is committed to working with youth from all walks of life to get them started on a career that works for them. We want to make sure every young person leaves school with a well-informed decision on which career path they want to take back, they want to take with them. And Talofalava, Tony, and welcome back.
As we were talking just during the break on the importance of, education, skilled education and specialized education, which we all know is very important because we need all the qualified doctors and all people that, you know, have a passion for these things. Is there any message you'd like to share with young people who may be listening at this moment, struggling on what career path to take, how to go about doing things, you know, where they have a passion, whether to go to MIT uni or just, you know, their dreams of what they'd like to do?
Yeah, that's, I don't think there's any real specific advice, but if I could give advice to the younger me, and maybe that might relate to other people, is take your time. Work in all sorts of places from after school. If you, I reckon the year after school, a lot of us jump straight into uni, and I understand that a lot of kids know what they want. They focus straight after school, but I think the majority still not too sure. Whether it's pressure from friends, family, or church to jump into uni straight away or make a career decision at 18. For me, I'm not too sure if that's fair on someone that's still a child, really, in the world. But I would say dip your toes in all sorts of things. Get, you know, go out and dig holes or something. Go in the contact centre. The more places that you get experience in, or whether it's bad or good, it'll all be good in the end because now you know what your skill sets are, and being in those sorts of environments will help you learn about yourself. Okay, so I'm not that great at doing this. I'm actually pretty strategic. I'm not so good at organization. You know, I'm actually really good at managing people. And the more times you get exposed to those sorts of things, the narrower the road begins for you, and then you can start identifying some key characteristics about yourself so that you can make better informed decisions. From there, just for me personally, I feel that sometimes our children are given one or two options. If you think about all the sorts of employment people can get into, we have a wide range of options. I sort of feel that maybe our kids at school aren't informed well enough about different industries, different roles, different career paths. And so my advice would just be to just relax. Just do whatever you feel like. Not whatever you feel like doing, but get into different things, do different hobbies, talk to different people. Don't always talk to your friends. It's hard to take advice from someone the same age as you. Talk to people.
That's good advice.
So
people who've been down the track.
For sure.
Can you just share with us what it is that keeps you in or has attracted you to being a part of Skills in helping, you know, in the ITO, helping people?
Cool.
Your passion.
Yep. My previous role, I was at Best Pacific, based out of Manukau. And from there, I guess from the time in the Philippines, you're 24/7 out teaching people. And so coming from a Mormon background, teaching sort of becomes almost natural. You get up and being Samoan as well, you know, you're not too shy about standing up and addressing people or relating to our people. And so from there, Best was a really good starting point for me as far as connecting with our Pacific people. I'd sort of seen it all as far as opportunities that people are limited to, right, and people that come in with different sets of issues and barriers and all of that sort of stuff. So working with our Pacific people, that's where my real passion started, because I'm like, oh man, we really need to lift our community.
Yes, absolutely.
And whether it's one or two people, that one person generationally can influence families on families on families. So I made a point when we were teaching, and shout out to everybody at Best, people that are working at Best, man, you got to be emotionally fit to work at Best, because you really are dealing with our people and within our community, inside our community, in the heart of Manukau. And so that's where my passion started.
Yeah, thank you very much. I can see that you do have a heart for our people. You want them to do well, to get a good education and improve their skills so that, you know, they can be do well for themselves and their families. We're going to be finishing up soon. We just want to thank the listeners for listening in. We hope that you've enjoyed the talk and you've learned a bit more. Just a few final words. How can you be found, you know, just in closing? Is there a contact number or website, or if you can just share that in the last minute or so, and just some closing comments?
Yep, cool. Tony Laulu is my name. Phone number is 021-775-436. You can find us on our website, which is skills.org.nz, or email us on pacifica@skills.org.nz. That's PASIFIKA at skills.org.nz. Or just call the 0800 number. Oh, sorry, 0508 skills.
Yeah.
And you can just ask for me or Isaac.
Okay, just a final shout out to anyone.
Shout out to George Lunny.
And if you could just do a quick prayer straight after your shout out.
Cool. No, that's all. Shout out to the family at Skills, and also Best Pacific, Homebred Fitness, and everybody that's in the 312 Anehanga.
Tony Famania Lavalle, to you, to Emalonga Luinga, to say Malolo of Malof, so Swani, Tato Tamata, Yamanuia Lava.
Father God, we're grateful and have happy hearts this morning that we're able to conversate and have a talk about our people. We pray, Father, this time that you can bless those who are listening in their struggles and in their triumphs as well. We pray, Father, that you can be able to influence and bless our communities, our Pacific communities, that we can all lift each other up and raise good children, good men and women, and that we can all give back to our communities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And the sun was shining bright, a gentle breeze was blowing my not a storm cloud in sight.
Then suddenly, without a warning, a storm surrounded my life.
But even in the storm, I can feel the calm. Here's the reason.